friends, thank you for joining me on another edition of the Pile Driver Podcast. My name is Eric Vasquez. I am the owner, operator, editor, whatever you want to call it. I am in charge of the website that brings you this podcast. That website is thewrestlingchronicle.com. Thank you guys for joining me on another edition of the Pile Driver Podcast. Thank you for checking out the last two episodes, both covering NXT TakeOver and the Royal Rumble 2017. Thank you for all the feedback and everything like that. Just starting to get back into the swing of things of podcasting and whatnot. So I thank you guys for checking that out. What's been going on with me? Not much. Apologies if my voice is a little bit more nasally than usual. I am a little bit under the weather. But that's okay. I'm going to power through this episode and try to give you guys some audio opinions on what's going down in the world of wrestling. So thank you again for tuning in. If you want to help out the podcast, you can do so by using our Amazon link. Amazon is usually the easiest way to shop online to get what you want, get it for cheap. And if you want to help out the podcast, you can do so using Amazon. All you have to do is, instead of going to Amazon.com to do your regular shopping, just head over to bit.ly/AmazonTWC. You're wondering, why is that such a weird URL? It's because it's a shortener, makes it easier than spitting out a bunch of random numbers and whatnot, so it's easier, it's just a short link. Again, that's bit.ly/AmazonTWC. What that is, it just redirects you to Amazon website, and if you happen to buy anything, it doesn't cost you anything extra, but we get a little kickback, and it kind of helps me out, paying for the podcast and paying for the website, keep everything up and running in case any of you guys out there actually enjoy what I do. And speaking of enjoying what I do, again, I said I'm just getting into the swing of podcasting once again. I took a bit of a hiatus ever since WWE Backlash, or I believe like right after the draft. Just needed to recharge my batteries, and as I explained in the last episode, I've started working again. I have a puppy who is right now going crazy on my bed as I record this podcast, but I don't expect any accidents. He just took a major shit, so he should be good to go for the recording of this podcast. But again, thank you guys for listening in. And I wanted to ask you guys, if you are a listener, if you're listening for the first time, thank you. If you've been a long-time listener, very much thank you again. But I'm looking to get more participation from you guys. So if you want to send in questions, comments, opinions on the show, or what's going on in wrestling, doesn't have to be WWE. It could be any sort of wrestling. I watch it all, or at least I try to watch it all. I'm a little bit behind. In this episode, I wanted to cover the New Japan Wrestling New Beginning show. However, I haven't gotten around to watch that show. And again, it's 4 hours long. I've been kind of sick. So, you know, we had to skip that one over, but I will be checking that out. But again, I wanted to do things that involves not only WWE, but all wrestling. And then I wanted to involve you guys, because the best types of shows are the ones that show that people are actively listening and are being a part of the show. So if you want to send any questions, comments, you know, you want to get your opinions out on what's going on in wrestling, all you have to do is, the easiest way to do it anonymously is to send it via email. So you can send your emails to piledriverpod@gmail.com. Again, that's piledriverpod@gmail.com. If you want to reach me on social media, you can do so on Twitter. @WrestlingChron is the handle. Again, that's WrestlingChron, C-H-R-O-N. You can send me a DM, send me a tweet, say, hey, follow me, I got to send you a DM real quick, and we can discuss stuff there. If you want to send me a message via Facebook, The Wrestling Chronicle has its own Facebook page. That is facebook.com/The Wrestling Chronicle, or just search The Wrestling Chronicle and it'll bring you to that page. You can shoot me a message there too. Also, we are on Instagram, Tumblr. Just search The Wrestling Chronicle and you can find us there. And that's the easiest way to get in touch with me if you want to be a part of the show. I'm begging you guys, please be a part of the show. Like, subscribe, comment, give it a thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever. Tell your other wrestling friends, hey, check out this horrible podcast. Let me know what you think. But again, I really would enjoy some feedback from our listeners. Not only that, but I wanted you guys to participate in the show to help make the show a lot better. So again, that's that. But let's get into some news that's been going on in the wrestling world. Starting off with some WWE Network news. It looks like WWE Network is putting the axe to the Legends with JBL show that they had featured on the network, and I'm kind of bummed about that. JBL, and this was confirmed by JBL himself on Twitter. You can go back and scroll through his timeline, and he says that WWE kind of gave it the axe, which bummed him out, but hopefully there'll be some future shows. I know they just uploaded an episode with Stan Hansen, which should be great as well. Not only that, but he says the final episode is going to be with Jimmy Hart. So again, go back and check those out because those are really, really interesting stuff. And I'm kind of bummed that there will be, for the foreseeable future, no more Legends with JBL. Going into the same sort of media, looks like WWE Network will no longer be adding episodes of the Stone Cold podcast. They kind of looked at the episode that Steve Austin had with Dean Ambrose and the train wreck episode that was, because yes, it was a train wreck episode, and they kind of looked at that as the final blow, it looks like, and that was confirmed via Dave Meltzer. Not only that, but they kind of rubbed them the wrong way when Stone Cold tried to advocate for China's induction into the Hall of Fame. I'm not saying she doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame, but it kind of, obviously, she's had a very rough relationship before her untimely passing. She had a rough relationship with the WWE, and again, kind of bringing that to light, even though that's the whole point of the Stone Cold podcast, it kind of rubbed them the wrong way. And that's why I kind of always thought, like, they always promoted these Stone Cold podcasts, and I always said, I don't really think that WWE understands what a podcast is, because if you sit someone down and you put a camera in front of them and you ask, you know, another person a bunch of questions, it's basically just a sit-down interview. It's not really a podcast. The podcast has its own feel. If you actually listen to the Stone Cold podcast that is available on Podcast One, that's a real podcast. The Jim Ross podcast on Podcast One, that's a real podcast. Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, which I've been listening to a lot lately, that's a great wrestling podcast. I just don't think WWE understood what a podcast is, that they tried to do one with Mick Foley and Shane McMahon, which was really bad as well. Again, WWE could probably do a great podcast if they decided to, you know, maybe go about that route, maybe a 1-hour tell-all interview style, sort of like JBL, and put that up on iTunes. I'm sure that would do crazy numbers, but, you know, that's just, you know, if they're willing to go into that realm of media and actually do it the right way. Not saying that I do it the right way, but obviously doing this for a while and listening to other podcasts, I think I kind of understand how podcasts go. I'm just saying I'm not great at it, but I understand it, and I kind of see it as WWE doesn't really understand what a podcast is. So it looks like no more Legends of JBL on the network and no more Stone Cold podcast interviews on the network as well for the foreseeable future. But again, I'm hoping that comes back because those are two great additions to the WWE network, and those were my favorite parts of the WWE network, when, you know, they can kind of go behind the scenes, break down the fourth wall, whatever you want to call it, and kind of, you know, give the subscriber, the wrestling fan, you know, just some of that real life stuff that's going on, that went on in the world of wrestling. So sad to see that goes. Getting away from WWE for a second, it looks like in TNA news, we got some TNA news. I know, it's different, it's weird, but it looks like Jeff Jarrett is back in charge of TNA wrestling. It looks like Jeff Jarrett will be in charge. He replaces Big John, and he is going to be running the show there, also bringing back Scott D'Amore, and also bringing back Zeb Coulter, WWE Zeb Coulter, also known as Dutch Mantel. They will go back into the creative side of TNA. So I'm hoping, you know, TNA kind of gets back some of what made it interesting in its, you know, in its beginning, in its infancy, as you would say. TNA has a lot of great talent. They have great guys like Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett, who's been on the show before, Mike Bennett, you know, or I believe Mike Bennett is still a part of the show. I haven't seen him in a while, but they also brought in Aaron Rex. I haven't seen TNA in a while, but I'm just going by what I remember reading off of the dirt sheets, if you can name one. But they have great talent, and TNA could be a great show if they just get away from trying to be maybe the number two competition or trying to be better than WWE. If you listen to the show, you know that's always been my thing. It's like, you know, you don't have to be the WWE. You know, you could be something different. Because even wrestling fans, casual, whatnot, maybe sometimes if they want to get deeper into what is wrestling, they probably want something different. Not always the same deal. So it's good to see that TNA is actually doing something smart and implementing more wrestling-minded people that can give them a great show. And hopefully it's a benefit to the younger talent there, you know, to get a better shot of being on TV with logical storylines that'll keep people interested in TNA. So best of luck to them now that they have different owners and Anthem. So maybe, you know, soon I'll be checking out some TNA, see if things is a little bit different, you know, and we'll go from there. Maybe you'll see more TNA content on this podcast, so let's hope. That takes care of the news right now. Hopefully, if you guys have a news topic, you can shoot it on over through those avenues that I had mentioned earlier via email or social media. And if I find it to be something beneficial that I think everybody should know, I'll go ahead and mention it on the show, no problem, and I'll give you all the credit in the world so long as it's accurate information. I don't want to be one of those podcasts that rely heavily on the he said, she said rumors of professional wrestling. I don't really find that stuff sort of interesting. I find it, you know, it may be fun to read up on rumors and, again, all the stuff, unless I say, you know, it's definitely happened or I know firsthand, which I don't because I'm not in wrestling that way, you know, that stuff is sort of redundant. You could find all the rumors in the world when it comes to wrestling on the internet and read for yourself and kind of cherry pick what you believe and what you don't believe. But we all ultimately don't know what happens until it happens in the world of wrestling. And that just doesn't apply to WWE. That is all parts of wrestling. You don't know what's going to happen until it happens. It's fun to speculate. It's fun to spread rumors correctly because we all know there can be rumors that are detrimental. But in the end, we don't know what happens until it happens. This is all just hearsay, and I just kind of pick the most important things that I feel that you guys would find interesting. So again, if you have news that you want to share, maybe you're a promoter, or maybe you're somebody in the know. Anyway, you want to shoot over that news, just send it via email or on social media. And if I find it interesting, worth giving out to the masses or whoever listens to this podcast, I will do so. So that concludes the news for right now. Now, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show, dealing with WWE, I wanted to give a shout out to CZW, who will be celebrating their 18th anniversary today, Saturday, actually. They'll be celebrating with CZW 18. It will be Saturday, 7:30 p.m. at the Flyer Skate Zone. The address is 601 Laurel Oak Road in Voorhees, New Jersey. That is the Flyer Skate Zone. That is their minor league training facility. That's where CZW runs their shows. And the reason I'm giving CZW this sort of shout out is because without CZW, this podcast probably would have no listeners. We've had great CZW guests on the show. Chrissy Rivera, owner DJ Hyde, Maven Bentley, Shane Strickland, Caleb Conley, you know, all those guys. And all those guys have been a real big help. And I'm so happy that CZW is now being able to celebrate 18 years in the wrestling business. And they will do so at the Flyer Skate Zone, Saturday, February 11th, 7:30. They will have matches including Danny Havoc and Connor Claxton taking on Devin Moore and Drew Blood. This is, should be interesting because Danny, Connor, and Devin used to be in a group together, and now it looks like they've sort of disbanded is the word I'm thinking of? Yeah, disbanded, that's the word. But again, it's Danny Havoc and Connor Claxton taking on Devin Moore and Drew Blood. Joe Gacy will be taking on Shigeru Irie of Japan. Now, I don't know if this is for the CZW world title because Joe Gacy is the world champion, but either way, having someone from Japan able to show their craft in New Jersey is pretty interesting, so you should check that out. Desmond Xavier and Zachary Wentz will be defending the CZW tag team titles against EYFBO. I was there in attendance live when EYFBO had won the titles from the Hit Squad, and then out come Brittany Blake, Desmond Xavier, and Zachary Wentz. Brittany Blake invokes her sort of clause where she could pick any sort of title that she wanted to take you know, have a shot against, I guess you could say. But she actually gave her shot to Wentz and Xavier, and they took advantage, and they beat EYFBO for the tag team titles. So now EYFBO gets their rematch. Hopefully they could win it back, because I thought it was a horrible way. It was a great moment for EYFBO. They had a great match against the Hit Squad. Big moment. The crowd was very happy that they were able to win the CZW tag team titles. And then they get it ripped away by Desmond Xavier and Zachary Wentz because of Brittany Blake. I think that's an awful thing. Hopefully they can get him back, but that should be a great match. Another fantastic match that is coming up. It's a title for title match between David Starr, who is the WXW Shotgun Champion, WXW out of Germany. He is their Shotgun Champion. He will be putting his title on the line against the Progress Wrestling Atlas Champion, that is Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle will be making his CZW debut Saturday, February 11th. In the Skate Zone against David Starr. This is a title for title match. WXW Shotgun Champion David Starr, the product, who's been a guest on the show in the past, will be taking on Matt Riddle, who is the owner of the Progress Atlas Championship. So that should be a great match. Dave Crist will be taking on Ricky Shane Page, which is a very, very interesting match. I wasn't the biggest Ricky Shane Page match until I saw him live taking on Danny Havoc in an incredible death match that I found very, very entertaining. So I'm on the Ricky Shane Page bandwagon. Dave Crist's brother, Jake Crist, who would like to be known as the artist Jake Crist, very weird sort of Prince-style gimmick that he has going on now. He'll be taking on Shane Strickland, who is a great friend of the show. That should be a great match as well. Shane is just an incredible talent, and so is Jake. Jake is definitely a veteran of the ring, so that should be a very, very solid match. There will also be an intergender tag team match. Homicide, the very famous Homicide, will be teaming up against the Shimmer Champion Mercedes Martinez to take on Greg Excellent and my friend Chrissy Rivera. Sorry, Chrissy. I don't think this is going to be a fun one for you. If I was you, I would let Greg do all the hard work. Because Mercedes Martinez is a very... very scary woman when it comes to wrestling. She's very intimidating. She can get the job done. So if I was Chrissy, I would let Greg handle all the heavy and even the light work. Maybe go in there and lay a couple stomps. Every time I see Chrissy in a match, she's always getting kicked in the face, which is not fun. I don't like seeing my friends get kicked in the face, so hopefully that doesn't happen this Saturday. Also Saturday, Tony Deppen will be taking on Tim Dunst. And we will also see the in-ring debut of Maxwell Jacob Feinstein. I was there when Feinstein was supposed to maybe do an open, like his first sort of on-the-mic introduction to the CZW crowd. And they didn't even let him speak. They just doused him with air horn noises, booed him out of the building, attacked him with toilet paper, which, by the way, in the press release for CZW 18 that I got, it says specifically, so I want to mention this to you guys, you are not allowed to bring any streamers, toilet paper, basically anything that you can throw into the ring is not allowed. If they catch you throwing anything in the ring, you'll be escorted out. I'm kind of bummed because you guys know I'm a huge fan of wrestling streamers, and I love the visual effect that the streamer gives. But it looks like they're no longer allowed in the CZW arena in the Flyer Skate Zone. It's kind of a bitch to clean up. And it kind of, you know, when those guys have to go in and clean up all the streamers and toilet paper out of the ring before the match, it kind of takes a lot of time away. So I do understand it. I'm just kind of bummed. So make sure if you're going to attend this show live, 601 Laurel Oak Road in Voorhees, New Jersey, you do not bring anything with you that you're planning to throw in the ring, because you will be asked not to. And if you do anyway, you'll be getting the boot from the show and you won't get your money back. Also, there will be a Hall of Fame induction, being that this is their anniversary show. I didn't get to read who the induction will be. I'm pretty certain, I don't want to misquote it, so I won't say it. I pretty much know who I think it's going to be. But again, if you want to go ahead and check that out for yourself, I wasn't able to read up on who was going to be in the Hall of Fame this year. But the Hall of Fame for CZW is a pretty cool thing. I was there the year they inducted Lyle Williams, the very famous independent wrestling photographer. They inducted him, which was a cool moment. Last year, they inducted Drake Wirtz, who is now a WWE NXT referee, who wrestled for CZW, pretty much made his name in CZW as Drake Younger. Very nice guy, an advocator of what we call PMA. Just a great all-around guy. So the CZW Hall of Fame is a very, very big thing. So make sure you go ahead and check that out. If you can't be there live, you can always check out the show on czwstudios.com. I believe it's an iPay-per-view. I know they've been having issues with the building. Either way, if it's not a live iPay-per-view, CZW usually uploads their shows within a day. And that's what's cool about them is that they try to get these out to the public, and they have very, very good production value to their show. It's not typically what you would expect from an independent wrestling promotion that sort of, they don't really care about the production value or anything like that. CZW puts their heart and soul into everything that they do production-wise. So definitely it's worth checking out. If you can't be there live again, you can check it out, czwstudios.com. Shout out to CZW for all the help that they've given me over the past with this podcast. If you need more information on the show, how to get tickets, anything like that, just head over to czwrestling.com. There you can order tickets for the show. You can order it so you can get it online whenever it's uploaded. If it's a live IPPV, you can go ahead and tune in live. There's no reason you shouldn't check out this show. It's very well worth it. If you don't have anything to do, today's Friday, so obviously if you don't have anything to do tomorrow, check it out, all right? It's cool. Wrestling is great. There's all types of different wrestling, not just WWE. There's independent wrestling, which I love, so I'm happy to give a shout-out to one of my favorite promotions, CZW, and congratulations on 18 years. Good luck on a great show. I'm sure it's going to be phenomenal. I'm going to check it out for sure, so don't you worry. All right, so that covers the independent wrestling part of the show. Now to move on to the big dogs, the World Wrestling Entertainment. This Sunday on the WWE Network at 8 p.m., they will be having their WWE Elimination Chamber special. A lot of great matches on the card. It's a SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view, so you're only getting SmackDown stars on the show. In the past, SmackDown has been kind of a little bit more of an interesting show to watch than Raw, but they've kind of been neck and neck in my opinion. I'm not one to really, sort of bog down on one and not the other, which is what you would expect to see on the internet these days. All you see is, oh, Raw, so horrible, blah, 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 and SmackDown, so great. And, you know, I'm in the boat where I think both shows are great. I mean, obviously, I'm probably along the lines of I think maybe Raw should be 2 hours instead of three, but I understand why it's three. And I always tell people the reason why it's 3 hours is because a third hour Raw is profitable. It makes the most profit of the entire show in terms of advertising, commercials, things of that nature. That third hour of Raw from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. makes the most money for the WWE. So if it makes the most money for them, why would they get rid of it? It's common sense. They're not going to get rid of it just because you don't like to sit through another hour Raw. That's not how it works. But anyway, back to the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. It's a SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view. It will kick off with a kickoff match between Mojo Rawley and Curt Hawkins. I really don't have a pick in this match. But I'm just going to go with Mojo Rawley because he's been kind of on a roll ever since his tag team partner, Zack Ryder, was put on the shelf with an injury, as I take a sip. All right, so going on to the main show, we have Apollo Crews and Kalisto teaming up in a 2-on-1 handicap match against Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler has kind of turned the leaf. Apparently, he wants to be a more darker character. Not really darker, but, you know, on his own. He was always a guy that was attentive to what the fans wanted. You know, always out to help other people. And it really hasn't gotten him anywhere. He's had a string of losses that really have been detrimental to his career. So he looks to sort of abandon who he was. And now he's a meaner Dolph Ziggler. As far as a winner for this match, I kind of picked out Dolph Ziggler to win it. Which sounds weird, I understand, because it's a 2-on-1 handicap match. So why would you go with the guy that doesn't have a partner? I get that. But the way I look at it in terms of picking out a winner, the way I do it is always I look at what's going to happen after. What would a win benefit? Who would a win benefit more? Would it benefit Apollo Crews and Kalisto, or would it benefit Dolph? Obviously, in this scenario, it seems like a win would benefit Dolph more. Like, you can go into a more creative direction. I don't really have an idea of how the match itself is going to go, but I just see Dolph Ziggler coming out on top. And this will kind of further his sort of journey as a heel character. Next up, we have Becky Lynch taking on Mickie James. I'm looking forward to this one. It should be a great match. I'm picking Mickie James to win. I look at it, it might be sort of one of those wins where, you know, someone might get involved, cause a distraction, Mickie might grab the tights, or, you know, put her feet on the ropes. But, you know, it could go either way. It could go with Becky Lynch. If Becky Lynch was to win, I see it as a quick win where she would roll up, you know, get a pin by surprise from Mickie. You never know, but I expect it to be a great match because Mickie, obviously, she's a veteran. She knows what she's doing. And Becky Lynch is a great wrestler in her own right. So this should be a great match. Now we're going to have a tag team turmoil match with a whole shitload of tag teams. Mainly American Alpha will be defending the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships against the Usos, Breezango, East Slater, Rhino, the Vaudevillains, The Ascension, Doink and Dink, Jerry Lawler and his little midget gang. I don't know. There's a whole shitload of teams, and that's really why I don't enjoy these matches. I hate these type of matches. Usually, when you got so many bodies in the ring, especially, it's like, oh my god, it's like 20 dudes. Like, what's going on? It's just gonna be a clusterfuck, which is precisely kind of what it's been as far as the buildup to this match. I enjoyed the fact that American Alpha, who is obviously the best team out of all these teams, they went out there, they kind of issued an open challenge, and it just kind of, I was on board. I was like, okay, this is great. You know, they're the champions, they're dominant champions, they should just go out and challenge people and go from there. They ended up somehow miraculously challenging the entire SmackDown Tag Team Division. To me, this screams, we don't have anything for you guys, but we need to put you on the guy. We need to put you on the show, so we're just going to throw this shit out here, and if it sticks, it sticks. If it doesn't, oh well. As I said earlier, you know, I think American Alpha is probably the best team out of all the teams involved in the match, so I'm going with them to win. They can really elevate the division if they just do the simple stuff. Build them up. American Alpha can have great matches against the Vaudevillains. They can have great matches against the Ascension. Really, any team you put them against, they'll have a great match. So why do you feel the need to just fucking throw everybody in there and just make it all crazy? It makes no sense to me. So hopefully they get this out of their system and then sort of elevate the tag team scene on SmackDown in a more organized, a way that they can elevate not only American Alpha, but elevate the division and elevate other teams as well. So, you know, in my pick, I say American Alpha retains their titles, and hopefully this match isn't as bad as I'm expecting. After that, we will see Nikki Bella take on Natalya. Now, this has been a very interesting match. You know, people may be into it, may not be into it. I'm into it. It has a little bit of a real-life sort of vibe with it, with Natalya attacking Natty, or Natalya attacking Natty. How is she going to attack herself? She's attacking Nikki Bella, both physically and emotionally, saying that John Cena will eventually get tired of Nikki Bella and leave her high and dry. That to me is interesting. To other people might not be, but I think if you can add a little bit of real life into an angle, it always works out for the better. I also enjoy the fact that Natalya has been a little bit more meaner, I guess you could say. She's kind of embraced the fact that she's supposed to be, you know, quote unquote, I'm not being sexist or anything, but she's kind of being a bitch. You know, and it's cool to see because Natalya really isn't a bitch. She's a really nice lady, but she's get to play this character where she's just mean. She's attacking Nikki from behind, smashing her face into glass, you know, saying that John Cena is going to leave her. She's going to be alone for the rest of her life. It's some fucked up shit, but it makes the match a little bit better. It makes it a little bit more interesting. I can't really pick a winner. I'm going to go with Nikki Bella. For the simple fact that the way we saw SmackDown, or talking smack, and this past week with Natalya jumping Nikki from behind and then smashing her face into that plate glass sort of deal on the stage, that was really harsh. That was really vicious. I thought it did a great job of elevating the match, but I think because of that, because it was so vicious, Nikki's going to come back and get the upper hand and kind of get the payback for that. Lemon Gatorade. So great, so great. Alexa Bliss will be defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Naomi. This should be another great match. It's had a lot of great buildup, and I'll tell you why. Because Naomi has really been working hard and elevating her character and going out there and giving great performances in the ring, and the people are really starting to get behind her. She always had a big fan base on social media, you know, and she always had people kind of wondering, why aren't they elevating Naomi? She's a very athletic, you know, she's got that whole glowing thing where it looks like a giant acid trip when she comes down to the ring, you know, and like I said, she's great in the ring. She knows how to get things done. She borrows different elements like the Mike Bailey speed kicks, which is awesome to see, you know, so I think it's a great thing, that they're elevating Naomi and they're finally realizing, oh, wow, she could probably go out there and do a good job, especially against the SmackDown Women's Champion, Alexa Bliss, who's just on a whole nother level. And I say she's on a whole nother level because of the simple fact that, you know, I don't think she really came into wrestling the traditional way, you know, through the indies or, you know, training and really busting it out. However, she's just a natural, especially on the mic. You know, you believe that her character as this sort of mean girls, I'm better than everyone. You really believe that. She just gives you that vibe. It comes naturally to her. She's such a natural when it comes to that. And the fact that Naomi has not really beaten her, but she's pinned her in a tag team match. And then for Alexa just could still completely dismiss her as, who are you? You know, that's one way to get under your opponent's skin, is to disregard them as any sort of competition when they're going up against you. You're just like, this is going to be a cakewalk. Whether that plays into how the match is going to go is a different story. Maybe Alexa will be underestimating Naomi and what she can do in the ring, which will lead to Naomi, capturing the women's championship. Or Alexa Bliss, which I'm thinking Alexa Bliss is going to come out on top. Just be the way she's been handling herself as champion. It's very intriguing. Again, it's all about elevating your division, and she's been doing that with the SmackDown Women's Championship for sure. So definitely looking forward to that. I'm picking Alexa Bliss to retain the title because, again, I feel like she's doing a little bit more with the title in terms of making it interesting. But again, I'm not saying that Naomi doesn't deserve the title. I definitely believe in a couple months we will see her with the title and going with her. But for now, I'm picking Alexa Bliss. We got an interesting matchup. Luke Harper versus Randy Orton, with the Wyatt family and Bray Wyatt kind of being in the center of all this. I do like the idea of Luke Harper sort of separating himself from the Wyatt family, because as a competitor, I feel like his single matches with just about anyone on the roster will be great. I think he has a very intriguing character. He's a little weird. He's definitely strange. So even if you were to sort of spin him as a face, it can still kind of work out. It's the thing is, he did attack Bray this past Tuesday on SmackDown Live. But to me, that still didn't give me the feeling like he's completely out of the Wyatt family stable. I feel like a part of him is still there. He's just to Bray. He's confused. He's confused himself because Randy Orton is kind of become what Luke Harper was, which was Bray Wyatt's second in command. You know, so it's kind of hard to tell what Luke Harper is doing as far as if he's going to separate from the stable or not. As far as the match, obviously it's going to be a great match. Luke Harper is one of those guys who can go with anyone, whether it be a big guy, let's say, for example, Kane, he could probably put on a great match with, or a smaller guy. We all can look back at that ladder match he had against Dolph Ziggler. People say it's one of the best ladder matches in WWE history. It was a great match, phenomenal match, but it just proves that Luke Harper really can go with just about anyone in the ring. And being a guy his size, I mean, this guy throws drop kicks like nothing. He runs the ropes like nothing. Suicide dives, you know. So, again, it's one of those things where this could really help Luke Harper in terms of who he is as a singles competitor and what his career can go through if he separates himself from the Wyatt family. Or this could be a part of an whole elaborate scheme because we never know what's going on when it comes to Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family. And they always kind of throw us curveballs creatively, which usually don't end well, but they always have something to kind of grab us back in. As far as a winner for this match is kind of difficult to tell because of the simple fact that, again, it's intriguing with Luke Harper and this new direction he's going, but again, Randy Orton's the guy that's going to be main eventing WrestleMania, whoever comes out of the Elimination Chamber. It looks like, you know, it doesn't matter. Randy Orton's still going to be in WrestleMania in the main event. Now, let's say Randy Orton goes on to win his main event at WrestleMania and becomes the WWE Champion. How does that affect Bray Wyatt? Because Bray Wyatt, despite being, you know, in this group, he's still considered like the head guy in the Wyatt family. It's always been about him. They even said, you know, what happens if one of the guys from the Wyatt family wins the Royal Rumble? He says, no, we all win the Royal Rumble, but I win the Royal Rumble. Okay. You know, so is this going to put a rift between Bray and Randy? Which it could. You know, which is very interesting is the next match we would get into. And it kind of ties into this. But as far as the Luke Harper versus Randy Orton, I don't think that they're going to give a loss to someone that's going to be headlining their biggest show of the year, WrestleMania. So logistically, I'm going with logistics here. You know, I'm thinking logically here. Randy Orton should be a winner of this match. But it'll definitely be in a way that is going to gravitate. Maybe they're doing Bray Wyatt versus Luke Harper at WrestleMania. Ooh, that's very interesting. So maybe Bray Wyatt costs Luke Harper the win, setting up Bray Wyatt versus Luke Harper at WrestleMania. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. And that brings us to the main event of the show, the Elimination Chamber match. Now, there's going to be how many guys in this mother? There's going to be 6 million dudes in here. No, I'm just joking. John Cena will be defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, The Miz, and Baron Corbin. Now, first things first. The easiest thing to do here, and we all know the build-up, no need to kind of go into that, is just basically figuring out who is going to win this match. It's kind of hard to tell. So let's go with who we can eliminate. See, it's hard. It's hard. A lot of people say because Baron Corbin got the pin in the main event on SmackDown that he's not going to be winning the Elimination Chamber. And I don't see him winning the Elimination Chamber specifically because, you know, he's the young guy. He's the youngest out of, in terms of experience, he's the youngest out of everyone in the ring. Not to say that he's not going to be a future champion. Baron Corbin has all the makings to be a future champion. I just don't think with the caliber of talent in this match itself, he will be walking out with the title. Dean Ambrose is another guy I don't see walking out with the title. But he will be doing something with the Intercontinental title, obviously, at WrestleMania. It's been an okay Intercontinental champion. I just don't see him walking out of this one with the title. Bray Wyatt, as I stated earlier, I think what's going to happen is Bray Wyatt's going to cost Luke Harper his match against Randy Orton, and that will in turn turn into a Luke Harper-Bray Wyatt match at WrestleMania. The Miz makes an intriguing case because of the simple fact of the quality of work he's had since, you know, the middle to end of 2016 till now. He's definitely one of the best parts of SmackDown, which is obviously odd for me to say. I was never high on The Miz until that moment he snapped on Daniel Bryan, and we got to see a sort of real-life side of the Miz there. But I don't see him winning the match. I'm trying to... The way I kind of map this out is I'm always thinking ahead. I'm always thinking of what could be the plan. If they go one route, if they go the next route, what's the plan afterwards? What's the most logical sort of next step for the WWE? Do they always go that route? You know, 60, 70% of the time, no. They kind of throw a little curveball. But I don't see The Miz winning the title. I honestly feel like it's going to come down to AJ Styles taking the title back and having a title match at WrestleMania in some sort against someone. And John Cena obviously retaining. I think I'm leaning more towards John Cena retaining the title because of the simple fact that they made such a big deal out of him winning the 16th title and tying Ric Flair's reign. They made such a big deal. Why would they take the title off of him within 2 to 3 weeks? Like, that wouldn't make sense to me unless they just want to, you know, pedal to the metal. You know, get him that 17th title reign. But again, and it's John Cena. Is John Cena going to be the type to be like, yeah, let's give it to somebody else. Let me give it. He'll probably say, yeah, I'll give it back to AJ. But I don't see him saying, yeah, I'll give it to the young guy, Baron Corbin or something like that. It's just hard to tell whether John Cena retains or AJ Styles gets his second WWE championship reign. I'm really interested in seeing what you guys say. Logically, I'm saying Cena retains. All right. Logically, that's my logical answer. If they're going to throw a little bit of a curveball, the only curveball I see them throwing is that AJ Styles wins back the WWE Championship. But those are my two kind of routes that I'm going with. Deep down, I say Cena retains. Which is crazy because you think about it, odds-wise, he's going up against, you know, five other dudes. He shouldn't retain the title. You know, that should be right then and there. Should tell you maybe his odds, you know, they're not the best, so he won't retain. But then again, this is John Cena. Hello, Mr. Kick Out at 2, Mr. Hustle, Loyalty, Respect, Mr. Never Give Up, Mr. 24/7, No Days Off. So I don't know if the company is willing to take the title off of John Cena just yet. But that's the entire rundown of the WWE Elimination Chamber show, starting with the kickoff match, which I believe will kick off at 7 p.m. The actual show itself starts at 8 to 11 on the WWE Network. You can sign up for the WWE Network if you haven't been a subscriber before. That means you get a month free to start off. Which you can't beat. That means you get the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. And you also get WWE Fastlane, which I will get into next week. Very interesting stuff with Fastlane. Such as Goldberg getting a title shot against Kevin Owens. And the reaction people have had regarding that. We'll talk about that. And also other stuff in the world of professional wrestling. So again, this is another short show. I think it kind of works better for you guys. You know, give it about 45 minutes to an hour. Something easy for you guys to digest. You don't have to listen to my voice for a very long time. I know I kind of speed through these things, but, you know, I'm just trying to make it easy for you guys. You know, there's so many other podcasts out there, great podcasts. Like the ones I mentioned before. If you need other shows, there's Exile on Bad Street. You know, great show. Voices of Wrestling have, like, a ton of shows that they do. Breaking down everything in wrestling, whether it be WWE, they have a specific show for that. New Japan stuff, they have a specific show for that. NOAH, you know, everything you can think of. Voices of Wrestling, the crew over there, they do a ton of really, really good stuff that I feel is very, very underrated. And like I said, there's a ton of other podcasts out there that deal with wrestling. I listen to podcasts all day. I'm really getting into the actual podcasting and try to to format a show that makes things great for you guys and also makes things that people want to actually listen to. So again, as I stated in the earlier parts of the show, I really need you guys to participate in some way with the show. Just sending me quick feedback, even if you listen to about 10, 15 minutes, just give me your feedback on that, whether you like it, whether you dislike it. If you like it, you know, comment, subscribe, share it with your friends, say, hey, this is a great show, maybe check it out. Also, again, you know, I'm giving you all the avenues in the world to be a part of the show, to send me questions, comments, topics to discuss, you know, historical topics that you want to get some information on. I could bring on another guest, people like MLJ, who's been a co-host of the show, a producer of the show, such as like Jason Namco, all these other peoples I have ways to get to. And, you know, all I can do is just shoot them an email and say, hey, there's people out here that want to hear you and get your thoughts on this, and they feel my show is a great avenue to do so. So again, this show is really based on what you guys want to hear. I'm just spitballing these things out and giving you the option to say, yes, I like that. No, I do not like that. I need the show to be longer. I need the show to be shorter. I want to hear more about this. So what do you think about this? Stuff like that, you know, and I'm a very easygoing person. I try to respond to everyone that takes their time out to talk to me, because again, that's the fun part, is being able to communicate with the wide fan base of professional wrestling. So again, I thank you for listening to the show. If you want to reach out to me in an anonymous fashion or a more private fashion, do so by sending me an email, piledriverpod@gmail.com. You can go ahead and find me on Twitter and give me a follow and talk to me there. If you go on Twitter, the handle is @WrestlingChron, C-H-R-O-N, all one word together. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/TheWrestlingChronicle. Give the Facebook a like. Sometimes I shoot out little things there that are different from what I post on Twitter or any social media platform, just, you know, information and things like that. So it is an asset, if you enjoy what I do, to have the Facebook page on there on your Facebook feed. Again, you can do so by going to facebook.com/TheWrestlingChronicle. You can find me on Instagram by searching The Wrestling Chronicle on there. Every so once in a while, I'll post up something, and you can communicate with me there. On Tumblr as well. Tumblr as well, thewrestlingchronicle.tumblr.com. Google Plus, YouTube. This show will be on YouTube once I get it uploaded. And all sorts of crazy stuff. Anywhere social media is, I try to, you know, put the Wrestling Chronicle out there, because to me, this is my baby. This is what Triple H is to NXT. This is my NXT. This is my baby. Not only the website, but the podcast itself. So again, I need your guys' help to kind of grow this into a thing. All right. So again, I thank you for listening to this show. Hopefully you check out CZW18, CZWstudios.com, or check it out live at the Flyer Skate Zone. Also Sunday, we got the WWE Elimination Chamber. So hit me up on Twitter. I'll be live tweeting that entire show, reactions and things like that. And then I'll come back with a podcast, giving you a rundown of the show, what I thought, and go from there. So thank you guys for listening. Right now it's Friday, so I hope you guys have a good weekend. Pass this show along, spread the word, and happy wrestling, everyone. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.